Well, I think that if you would ask a professional athlete how important it is to stay connected with a coach, mm-hmm. they would pretty much say, duh, you know?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, bring it seriously to become a professional singer. But if you're out in any, you know, regular, singing regularly, even in church mm-hmm. as a soloist or something like that, to me, if you don't have a vocal coach at least that you can touch base with off and on or between tours, mm-hmm. you're crazy.
Right.
Which yeah, because things tend to can creep in on a long tour or something like that. Maybe you don't have a very good night or you're tired and you have to sing that night mm-hmm. and it doesn't go so well. So what you do is you start pushing harder. And then that makes it harder than ever to sing. So what do? You push harder than that the next night because it's not working and you're scared to death and you start guarding and everything starts to be a vicious cycle the wrong way. Right. So you need to touch base with a vocal coach. Your vocal coach that hopefully you've established a rapport with mm-hmm. And done some training with before you get out there so that you can touch base with her, maybe schedule a Skype lesson real quick and get that cycle going back the right way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I've spoken to a few artists already, and I find that with the vocal warm-ups, warming up their voice, like it varies. A lot of people don't do it regularly. So I was wondering how important it is for people to warm up and why.
That's a very good question. And here's the thing. If you don't know how to do vocal exercises, you can hurt yourself, and the warm-up can turn into a tighten-up.
Oh, wow.
So some people that don't, I always say, if you don't know how to do them properly, don't do them. Okay. And instead, just maybe lightly warm up with an easy song or a nice jazz song, okay. you know, like, or Somewhere Over the Rainbow or something that kind of just is very lilting and bell-like. Mm-hmm. Start with that and then start singing harder songs. But if you know how, with right form to warm up, then you should do it before every professional engagement. And as far as how long, if you're touring regularly, you know, if you're singing regularly mm-hmm. A lot, then you wouldn't need to warm up, but more maybe 5 or 10 minutes even. Okay. If you're not touring regularly or you're singing kind of sporadically, mm-hmm. then you would need to warm up more like 15 or 20 minutes. If you have any vocal swelling, like maybe you're, you know, puffy, it's early morning and you've got to do the Today Show, yeah. you might need to warm up longer. Maybe you're recovering from a cold or something like that. You might need to pump the interstitial fluid out of your cords more like 45 minutes. Okay. But I would not warm up that long on a normal basis because you don't want to tire your voice out before you start. It's just according to the condition of your voice.
Okay. Wow, that's really interesting because actually I was surprised when people would be like, oh, I don't regularly warm up, or I just, you know, the warm up is I'm talking all day and then I have to do a show. That's my warm up. It's really interesting to find that if you don't know how, it's probably in your best interest not to warm up in the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people have actually stressed their voice out with warm-ups that they didn't know how to do properly. Another biggie is the talking. If you don't know how to pull your speaking voice mm-hmm. off the gravel and talk, you know, from above your throat, mm-hmm. like I'm doing right now, from my eyes and my mask rather than my throat. If you don't know how to do that, then talking will be the most vocal abuse that you can do.
Wow.
And the way you can tell whether or not, in fact, that's why I work with speakers and teachers and ministers and business people mm-hmm. Who talk a lot. Number one, so that they communicate better with better tone. But number two, so that they don't trash their voices, you know, with their speaking voices. The way you can tell is at the end of talking for a while, if your voice feels fatigued, it shouldn't.
Mm, okay. That totally makes sense. It shouldn't. Wow. That's so interesting that even just talking, you have to, there's a right and a wrong way to actually do that. That's crazy.
Yes.
What are some of maybe common mistakes you find that that lead to vocal cord injury?
Some common mistakes are anything that you do to move your head forward, mm-hmm. like when you're playing guitar,
okay.
Or piano, mm-hmm. and you cradle your guitar or you lean over your piano and your head goes forward. You can hear my voice change right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. What I did is I thinned out my throat channel and I also let my rib cage collapse a little bit, which gave me my diaphragm too much slack, mm-hmm. and I lost control of my breath. Okay. So you lose control of your diaphragm. The only way you can control your diaphragm is to widen your rib cage. So when your head goes forward, everything goes wrong. And if your head does go forward, if you lean forward for effect in performance, you need to do that in such a way that you're leaning from the hips rather than from the middle of your torso so that your rib cage stays open.
Okay.
And your head, and so a common mistake is when the head is forward. I'll always say balance your head on your tailbone.
Okay.
Like a ball on a stick, you know, mm-hmm. and then you're opening your throat more, okay. and you're opening your rib cage, and that's a much more healthy way to send sound through. Another common mistake is singing without your eyes,
okay.
especially that happens in the studio, or singing, not knowing who you're singing to.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Most of the time, if I ask the question, who are you supposed to be singing to when you perform?
Mm-hmm.
The number one answer is to the audience.
Right.
And then I say, okay, like if you're Taylor Swift and you're singing Mean, is yeah. that to the audience? And then they get it. Oh, no.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, you really have to have an acting mentality, like, get the response that you want mm-hmm. with the tone of voice that you're using, and you're going to be using your eyes then. You'll find that if you use your eyes, the ceiling of your voice opens up. Like if you raise your eyebrows, your nose opens up.
Wow.
And people sing with no eyes, like poker face. And that's really dangerous for the voice. And you sound like a poker face numb person.
Mm.
So the way to use your face like you're really communicating to the heart. The lyric is to.
Okay.
And then you'll find your voice feels better, and it also communicates better.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. What are some common misconceptions maybe that people make about the voice? I guess in terms of how we maybe misuse it without actually really knowing that we are.
Okay, one way is vocal fry, is that hitting the gravel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's vocal fry, and it's an epidemic, especially in 20 somethings and teens.
Okay.
Because it's kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah.
And vocally, yeah. I mean, that's the first thing I bust my people on is that vocal fry. Or now, to do it for effect, when you're going, ow, you know, something like that, that's different.
Okay.
But when you speak with vocal fry all the time, mm-hmm. hitting the gravel like that.
Right.
And what you're doing is you're pulling the air, you're pulling your breath support before you're through speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge misconception, is to think that you don't have to support your speaking voice all the way out.
Okay.
And the other thing is that you don't need to use your face. You do. Your face matters to how open your throat is, mm-hmm. and matters to what tone is going to come out of your face. So that's a big misconception. And the other one is, again, who are you talking to? Who are you supposed to be singing to?
Okay.
That's a big one, too. And another misconception is that your voice has to hurt mm-hmm. after a certain point. It doesn't.
Oh,
it flat doesn't.
Yeah.
What I tell people is you should be hungry enough to eat a horse, even if you're a vegetarian, but not vocally strained after a long concert.
Okay. Wow, that's really good advice. People use, I guess, cardio exercise for breath control. What other daily exercises do you think help build vocal skills?
Daily exercises that I actually do too, for sure, that I highly recommend are any kind of core exercises,
okay.
like you know, sit-ups and push-ups and some weights, you know,
okay.
To exercise the lats that bring the rib cage open. the lats are, it's really important to get the back muscles, you know, toned. But what you want to avoid is too many pounds of weight, okay, where you overtrain shoulders, mm-hmm, because then you kind of, it's going to create a bulkiness and a tightness around your throat. You also want to avoid grunting when you're doing the weightlifting, mm-hmm, avoid closing your throat and grunting.
Okay.
But core exercises for sure. And also, aerobics. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Just out of curiosity, what are some of your musical influences?
Oh, Lord. My musical influences began with my father singing old-time country music, like we're talking Hank Sr. and all that, around my kitchen table to relax from the stress of his job as an air traffic controller. Okay. And then he taught us how to play. I remember, you know, teaching me my first chords on guitar. Mm-hmm. And then my grandparents, who were what they called psalm leaders, and they did that gospel music, you know, that we did, and I got to play that kind of piano when we would visit them back in Mississippi, in the rural part of Mississippi. But the thing is, that's where I began, but it's definitely not where I stayed, mm-hmm, because my father moved around. We moved around like service rats because he was an air traffic controller. We moved around to the big cities. So I got influences from Calypso in Miami, wow, you know, to R&B in Memphis, mm-hmm, and classical music that I learned to play as a violinist and to sing somewhat in college. And I learned to really love great music in any genre to this day. My big, real big loves have to do with like James Taylor, that magic that he can make, mm-hmm, and I love just you know, great grooves like the Stones and great songs like the Beatles and Kiri Takanawa's. It's gorgeous bell-like classical, and Andre Bocelli is, mm-hmm, you know, I can listen to them forever. And currently love Sarah Bareilles. Mm-hmm. I love Faith Hill. Okay. And I just love all kinds of different things, like even some hip hop, mm-hmm, that I really, really love. Matt Carney is one of my students, and I love the stuff. He's not doing hip hop so much anymore, but like some of the Justin Timberlake stuff and that kind of thing. The singers like Gladys, of course, Gladys Knight, and Seal. Oh my gosh, and Brian McKnight, Take Six. Oh my gosh, I could go on. Do you tell that I love singers and I love music?
That's great. That is great, since you are pretty much a representative of all that stuff.
Yeah,
so it's very important that you like so many different genres. Just out of curiosity, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You sound like my business coach.
Oh.
You know, I had a great experience. I had a great business coach who really kind of had a sucky speaking voice.
Okay.
So we got to barter, and that was wonderful. Okay. He asked me the same thing. And I think that's real important for all of us, mm-hmm, is to be present in the present, but also just be, you know, be a visionary about the future, you know, and we probably will think about what we may be doing in 5 years would be completely wrong, but you know, if we're not moving towards something, we're not moving at all. So I think it's real important to do that. In 5 years, I would love to be doing a little more performance with my band. Like, I don't want to perform all the time because my first job is vocal training and also producing vocals in the studio with different production teams, and sometimes as myself as a production team. But I'd like to be doing more. For a long time, I stopped singing myself, my own songs. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of us teachers do that. I think it's good for our spirits. And it's also good to keep us remembering what really works in the practical world of on stage, rather than some kind of theory or something that, you know, we we get a little removed from the reality of stage. Every time I do a performance, I gain another insight.
Okay.
So that's what I hope I'm doing more of that. And I also want to be doing more vocal seminars in different places.
Okay, awesome. How can our readers and beyond contact you?
How
can they keep in contact with you? What?
People can find me, it's real simple, at judyrodman.com.
Okay. Awesome.
So you can find me find all my other places from there. My band is Judy Rodman and A&D, 6 Play, the number 6, and the word PLAY, Judy Rodman and 6 Play. But my main website that kind of everything hubs from is just judyrodman.com, and you can contact me directly from there. I always answer, and I teach all over the world from here in my Nashville office. So I love my work. I love my people.
Okay, that's awesome. Oh, random question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference in genres in terms of teaching people how to sing? Is there like a particular song that maybe you use first, like a practice song to get them started?
You know what? I never do that. First thing I have students do is sing some easy song they're wanting to do.
Okay.
And then a very hard song that they can't quite do, so that I see what happens when they have to go for something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to put me, I don't want to stamp who I am on my students.
Right.
I want to know who they are, and then I want to enable them to do that as easily and as well as they can, and then go from there.
Okay.
Now, I do use a song as a vocal volume, as a kind of a, especially as a warm down after a strenuous lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Okay.
I use Somewhere Over the Rainbow and have them sing it more in a sort of a light jazzy kind of way.
Okay.
Like Jane Monheit would do, or Eva Cassidy.
Okay.
Would do.
Okay.
And so that kind of relaxes their chords.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Sorry, I almost forgot to ask. What is the most important thing an artist or vocalist can do to protect their voice? Some home remedies type stuff.
Okay. All right. One thing that I find extremely helpful, and you can find anywhere, is to have some pineapple juice that you can use in water, dilute pineapple juice, like 25% pineapple juice and the rest water.
Okay.
The pineapple has an enzyme in it that coats, that makes the throat tissues feel really good and hydrated.
Okay.
And I mean, that's just an amazing thing. I also personally use this thing called H2O Overdrive, and you can find that at H2OOverdrive.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a particularly hydrating drink that they use, professional athletes use.
Mm-hmm.
I find it extremely helpful for my voice. I don't perform without it.
Oh, wow.
And I know there are other hydrating drinks too, but those are just a couple. So I think the hydration thing is just a huge thing that you can do to protect your voice. Another thing is to really have enough energy to do all those things. Eat right. Make sure you do eat,
mm-hmm.
even if it's a small protein meal.
Yes.
Eat before you sing, because if you don't, you'll tend to use the smaller muscles around the neck and throat and shoulders rather than the big muscles that take more glucose and oxygen. And the big muscles are, if you use those, then you're protecting the little muscles from strain.
Okay.
Cayenne pepper on different things. Cayenne pepper, lemon juice, and water works great.
Oh, wow.
Some people put honey with that. But cayenne pepper is a good mucus membrane healer as well.
Okay.
And so that's a good thing to have with you. And there's all kinds of other odds and ends, like taking a hot bath and breathing, or the shower, and breathing in steam after you've come in from the jet plane or the bus trip.
Okay.
And you're all dehydrated. You really need to hydrate your tissues, and I find that doing that before performance is extremely important.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. That was wonderful advice. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with the Vocalist magazine today. And I wish you nothing but the best in the future, and especially for your five-year plan. I hope you achieve that.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Great questions. And I wish you and your audience good health and great singing.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Judy. That was an awesome interview. And I learned a lot of stuff that I had no idea about.
You know what? That's thrilling for me, because I know you've talked to a lot of people by now. So that makes me very happy that I was able to add something good.
Oh, you definitely did. Because I had no idea about like posture being so important, and the certain types of exercises that you do being very important. And also, I knew kind of about the wrong speaking. People say that a lot, but it's nice because you actually, like, you explained it extremely well. So it's completely clear to anyone, like, if you're speaking, speaking the wrong way in the right way. And I think that's, like, amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You got it. You got it, girl. Well, thank you. And your magazine rocks. As I looked at it, it's just an amazing read.
Thank you.
So, very cool.